Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Dieter Siru and we start the program with a brief news bulletin. The Social Democratic Party, the senior party in the ruling coalition, has made it to second place on the popularity ladder, an opinion poll suggests. According to the results of the poll, which was conducted by the CVVM agency in May, the opposition right-of-center Civic Democrats continue to be in the lead with 30%, followed by the Social Democrats with 16%, and the Communists, who had enjoyed second place in preceding months, with only 14.5%. The popularity of the Social Democrats suffered greatly at the beginning of the year, when the party backed the then-Social Democrat leader and Prime Minister Stanislav Gross over questions of his personal finances that resulted in a coalition crisis. Mr. Gross has resigned since then. Inflation in the Czech Republic slowed to 1.3% year-on-year in May from April's 1.6%, and month-on-month consumer prices added 0.2% mainly due to a significant growth in the prices of food and soft drinks, the Czech Statistical Office said on Wednesday. The National Bank, however, expected year-on-year inflation to drop to 1.1% in May. And unemployment in the Czech Republic fell to 8.6% in May, down from 8.9% recorded in April, the Labour Ministry announced. Labour offices registered 494,576 job seekers in May, which were nearly 18,000 fewer than in April. The Czech police have detained 20 members of an international gang suspected of people smuggling. The gang is believed to have smuggled at least 1,000 illegal migrants from Eastern Europe, mainly Russia, Chechnya, Dagestan, Kazakhstan and Ukraine, into the Czech Republic. Every illegal migrant is believed to have paid the gang €750 to get into the country. And the Czech President Václav Klaus was awarded with a prize for European regional integration in Austria's St. Pölten during his one-day visit to the country on Wednesday. Mr. Klaus was awarded with the prize by Lower Austria and the Krems University for, and I quote, preserving the diversity and equal positions of regions on the way to a united Europe. And finally, a quick look at the weather. It is expected to remain cloudy and rainy over the next few days, with temperatures reaching a maximum of 19 degrees at the end of the week. I'm Dieter Siru, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarova. Coming up, should Ukraine join the European Union? What is the future of the church in one of the most secular countries in Europe? An amazing archaeological find, the original burial chamber of Emperor Charles IV, uncovered at Prague Castle. And in Czechs in History, Zdeněk Burian, one of the greatest illustrators of prehistoric life. That and more coming up. Don't go away. Earlier this week, the opposition Civic Democratic Party organized an international conference to support Ukraine's ambitions to join the European Union. The event was attended by the Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Roman Besmertny and a number of other politicians, mostly from right-of-center political parties from across Central Europe, including the former Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Radio Prague's Martin Nikule was there as well and brings the following report.
Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Roman Besmertny saying that he comes from a country where the recent revolutionary events have brought about a crucial change to the whole society. A few months after the events, Ukraine feels much closer to the European Union and aspires to membership of the club. The Czech Civic Democrat MEP and the shadow Foreign Minister Jan Zahradil supports this effort.
I have no doubt that Ukraine belongs to the European Union, that this is by any measure, any possible criterion, European country, and it should not be excluded. I think that all countries that are willing to and that fulfill requirements should be adopted as a members of the European Union. And Ukraine clearly declared that it had an interest to join the EU. So, in my opinion, no one has the right to object that.
Also, the current chairman of the Civic Democrats, widely tipped to be the next Czech prime minister, Mirek Topolánek, says that further European enlargement is necessary.
My máme zájem na rozšiřování Evropské unie jako ostrova pozitivní deviace, jak tomu někdy říkám, a ne vytváření pevnosti.
We are interested in EU enlargement as an enlargement of the island of positive deviation, as I call it, and not creating a fortress Europe. This is where we differ from the view of some of the old EU countries. There is tension between deepening European integration and EU enlargement, and there's also a discrepancy between the Franco-German social model and the so-called Anglo-Saxon or Scandinavian model, which puts more stress on economic reforms and admitting new countries.
But political analyst Jiří Pehe is rather critical of the Civic Democrats' initiative. He understands it as a part of their long-term Eurosceptical strategy.
Well, I think that this idea is nothing new. This is fully in line with the opinions of other Eurosceptics, such as President Václav Klaus, who argue that the European Union should not integrate further. It should not deepen its integration, but it should enlarge and therefore basically dilute the current level of integration.
Even though Ukraine is not one of the current European Union candidate countries, its membership in the future cannot be ruled out. On the other hand, after the rejection of the European Constitution in the referenda in France and the Netherlands, where voters, among other things, expressed their fears over EU enlargement, it is clear that Ukraine's ambitions will face some tough opposition.
Martin Mikula, thank you for that. The Czech Republic has the reputation of being one of the most secular countries in Europe. In 2001, a nationwide census revealed that 58% of the population were non-believers. But that's not to say that the public is apathetic to religious issues, given the chance even the country's many atheists relish discussing the future of organized religion. Many did so heatedly at a recent debate in Prague. Jan Wellinger reports.
It's not often that one gets such a discussion on the future of religion as this. A recent debate organized in Prague by the Agora CE Civic Association and the Czech daily Lidové noviny, hosted by representatives of the main denominations, the Roman Catholic, the Evangelical, and the Hussite Church. All were on hand to field questions from the public. Topics which invariably came up included blaming organized religion for conflict and bloodshed in the present and the past. The discussion covered a lot of interesting ground, not least the hypothesis put forward by church leaders that the number of atheists in the Czech Republic will eventually drop, and Czechs will come back to the fold. Jan Schwarz, patriarch of the Czechoslovak Hussite Church.
Mně chybí hlas církví na pracovištích, v rodinách, všude tam, kde dochází k rozkladu těch hodnot.
I miss the church in areas where values are breaking down. Today people are unhappy and are looking for something to fill the emptiness in their lives, something to tell them how to live. What is modern life? We are living in a time of atomization. Our grandfathers used to gather for all kinds of social events, like amateur theatre, while my generation spent its days in front of TV sets. Today our kids sit alone in front of the internet. The church can play a role in bringing people back together and creating a meaningful community.
Smysluplné a funkční společenství.
The decline in religious belief here has deep roots that go back to the 17th century, with the defeat of Protestant forces and forced re-Catholicization. Along with 40 years of communism and the general secularity of the present day, religion here has a tough time. Other thorny issues include the need to settle outstanding questions over property and funding between the church and state. One of the outspoken atheists in the crowd, Zdeněk Trinkovic, said he thought the church ought to receive some funding, though, since it was part of the cultural landscape, architecture, concerts, charities. But as far as belief goes, he was having none of it.
I don't agree that people should succumb to religious belief. Historically, it has its place, but as a rational-minded person, I think that secularism will only grow. I'm a scientific atheist. I have a strong sense of ethics, but I simply don't believe there is any such thing as a higher being in heaven.
It can't be easy for church leaders in a country with such a high number of professed non-believers. But at the debate, they didn't seem daunted, assured that many among the public retain an inherent need for belief, and that eventually they will find what they're looking for. Church leaders are hoping that at least some believers in the Czech Republic who are not registered will come out of the proverbial closet. But the numbers certainly aren't showing it yet.
Jan Fellinger with that report. Now on to a most unexpected find. A late spring cleaning session at the US Embassy in Prague has led to a find that has surprised and pleased Czech historians. A box of documents relating to the political processes in the hardline 1950s. Czech archivists believe that they've been shredded years ago. The box, which the U.S. Ambassador William Cabanis himself delivered to the Czech National Archive, contained some 300 documents, all marked with red, signifying that they were connected with political trials. The files are now being studied by historians and will almost certainly help to shed light on the bleak years of Stalinism in Czechoslovakia. Dr. Kateřina Kotíková of the Czech National Archive says that unexpected finds such as this are what make the work of an archivist exciting.
Když si představíte, že nějaký člověk v 70. letech zřejmě než emigroval, nebo nikdo nezná.
When you think that someone, some unknown person, had this box in their keeping and probably sometime in the 70s, before emigrating, decided to take it to the US Embassy where it would be kept safe for future generations, it is quite awesome. It was probably placed in a safe and spent the next 30 or so years waiting to be brought out into the open. It is really interesting the way that some archive materials are preserved and found.
Tak to je třeba zajímavé, no, že i takhle se dají nalézt různé archiválie.
The 300 or so files will now bear testimony to one of the darkest chapters of Czech history. It is not yet clear what personal tragedies they contain, but the Bureau for Investigation of the Crimes of Communism will certainly be interested in seeing them. This spring really is a time of sensational historical discoveries in Prague. After archaeologists unearthed a jar full of 16th century silver coins last week, another amazing discovery has been announced. The original 14th century burial chamber of Emperor Charles IV was uncovered at St. Vitus Cathedral at Prague Castle. Pavla Horáková reports.
November the 29th, 1378, 3 hours after sunset. The beloved Holy Roman Emperor and King of Bohemia, Charles IV, breathes his last. Doctors rush in to embalm his body, and preparations for the monarch's funeral last for 11 days. Charles IV lies in state at the castle, then in 3 different churches in Prague. The funeral procession finally arrives at St. Vitus Cathedral, the great Gothic church built during his reign, on the 15th of December, 1378. After an all-night vigil, the coffin is placed inside an underground grave in front of the main altar. The burial chamber was discovered during recent restoration works, when studying documentation and fragments of the original Romanesque church on whose foundations the Gothic cathedral had been raised, researchers found out about the existence of a royal burial chamber. They drilled a small hole in the cathedral's floor and inserted a special probe with a camera and spotlight. 2 large burial chambers opened up before them, containing fragments of coffins and bones. What the archaeologists also found was a sign on the wall from the 19th century saying that the architect and restorer, Josef Mokr, had explored the chambers when he was working on the main altar. He is believed to have removed everything from the chambers, sealing the entry afterwards. The floor in the cathedral was then newly paved, and, unbelievably, Mokr's find was forgotten, only to be rediscovered 130 years later. Today the remains of Emperor Charles IV lie in the cathedral's royal crypt, alongside other Bohemian rulers under a gravestone made in the 1930s. Details of the important find, as well as photographs of the burial chambers and the latest news from the site, will be presented to the public exactly in a month's time.
Pavla Horáková, a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague. History clearly dominates today's program, and for today's Czechs in History with Pavla Horáková, we'll be going way back in time.
Hello. No one knows what prehistoric mammoths sounded like, but you are made to believe that this is the genuine roar of the three-dimensional, furry, white-tusked giant that stares at you just as you enter the exhibition room at Prague Castle. We're at a retrospective exhibition of the Czech artist Zdeněk Burian, perhaps one of the greatest illustrators and painters of prehistoric life.
Já si myslím, že nás tak nejenom tedy Čechy, teda v tom případě, že nás nechává snít. Já si myslím,
I think he allows us to dream. He lets us enter unknown worlds. He develops our imagination, and I dare say that his illustrations attracted many children to reading books that would otherwise only collect dust on shelves.
Vladimír Prokop is the curator of the exhibition and a lifelong admirer of Zdeněk Burian's work. Several generations of Czechs have grown up daydreaming over Burian's photo-like paintings of prehistoric life and early humans. It almost seems that Zdeněk Burian's future profession was determined by the place of his birth. He was born in 1905 in the Moravian town of Kopřivnice, in an area known for its prehistoric settlements. Maybe that was the first inspiration for a boy who was to become a master of fossil reconstruction, working with the Czech paleontologist Josef Augusta, Charles University professor Oldřich Fejfar.
We don't know the exact way how they got together, but the collaboration started in the year 38 and 39. And this was an interesting time because, as you know, the universities were closed by German occupants. And the professors suddenly were free. They didn't have duties. So many of them started to write textbooks. And Professor Augusta, who was here, he decided to write a large, extant description of past life. And he searched, of course, some painters, some artists. And I don't know why he found later, in the year 38, Burian.
A child prodigy, Zdeněk Burian was accepted to study in the second year of Prague's Academy of Fine Arts at the age of only 14. But Burian dropped out after only 1 year, never finishing the academy. For many years he struggled to make ends meet before he established himself as an illustrator of both magazines and books.
Burian at the time was one of the most outstanding illustrators, Czech illustrators. He illustrated at that time several books, many journals. He made also covers of books and so on. And he collaborated with two publishing houses. And the houses, of course, were in competition. And he worked for both. So it was for him a very interesting life, but a very busy life. He was extremely misused. And his ability was that he painted very fast. He painted very quickly. And this was, of course, misused by the publishers, and they demanded to make drawings in 1 hour, in 2 hours, and they got it.
Professor Oldřich Fejfar from Prague's Charles University says the cooperation of painter Zdeněk Burian and paleontologist Josef Augusta proved lucky for both men, and together they revealed to the world what prehistoric monsters and our early ancestors could have looked like. Even though the paintings contain some mistakes, depending on the available data at that time, they are used as teaching tools to this day and recognized by paleontologists worldwide. Vladimír Prokop.
Já jsem nedávno komunikoval s několika lidmi, kteří se dokonce věnují v současné době paleontologické rekonstrukci.
I recently talked to a number of paleontologists who do fossil reconstruction, and they knew Burian. Many admired him and said his paintings were a milestone in the development of visual reconstruction.
Autorita, která prostě znamenala mezník ve vývoji obrazové rekonstrukce.
Paleontologist Oldřich Fejfar agrees.
Burian is known abroad and also he has many imitators abroad. I have seen paintings in Beijing, for example, and at the first glance I said, this must be Burian, but it was not, it was only exactly repainted Burian. And many artists in America, in South America, and also in Germany, they said me the Burian is the top. We cannot be better than him.
Professor Pfeiffer encountered Burian's work abroad on one other occasion.
When I was in British Museum one time, my colleague Anthony Sutcliffe said me we should visit the house of Darwin, because Darwin for us is a main source of our imagination of evolution of nature. So we visited the house in Downs in the Kent, and I noticed that one room, a big room, was covered with Burian reproductions. Those reproductions made by Augustine Burian during the war. So it was nice for me to see it.
It has happened many times in Czech history that the nation's most talented sons and daughters have been little appreciated at home. Zdeněk Burian was one of them.
The extent of this work is about, we estimated on about 15,000 drawings, paintings and so on, and about 500 or 600 titles he illustrated. So he certainly was the most productive illustrator in his time. But of course this situation produced many animosities and jealousy. So in '50s, in the difficult communist time, he was accused that he is too old-fashioned and reactionary, and that his paintings are not, don't correspond to the new socialist world. So this was a very hard time for Burian, and some professors on the academy, they said that it is not true that he is a very good illustrator. However, he was always realistic, and this was his good thing. It was his strong face of his art, but also it was a disadvantage at the time.
Zdeněk Burian died in 1981, and it wasn't until 24 years later that a retrospective exhibition of his work was opened at one of the most prominent galleries in Prague.
Burian nebyl do roku 1990 uveden v žádné encyklopedii.
Until 1990, Burian was not listed in any encyclopedia of art. If we look at general encyclopedias, he has given 4-5 lines, while foreign encyclopedias of art easily gave him half a page. That says something.
Both Vladimír Prokop and Oldřich Pfeiffer met Zdeněk Burian and have fond memories of him. Here are a few of Oldřich Pfeiffer's recollections.
I met him several times, but only shortly, and he told me always some interesting things. For example, he laughed, and he was extremely interested in North American Indians. And he told me, "Say me a face, I will draw it for you. I know every tribe in North America." And he subscribed to the National Geographic, and he studied the faces of Indians with great interest. And he said me, it is my hobby to paint those men, those free men living in nature. And another anecdote was, he told me once, when I paint an animal, I start always with eye. I made a sketch with pencil or with a charcoal, and then I paint with oil the eye, and then I proceed. And the eye looks at me, and I understand the animal better, he said.
Zdeněk Burian's inspired vision of prehistoric life has been a model for generations of artists specialized in fossil reconstruction. Even in this age of computer-generated images and animation, Zdeněk Burian remains unmatched.
And that edition of Czechs in History brings us to the end of this broadcast from Prague. I'd just like to remind listeners that all of Radio Prague's programs are available in text and sound on our webpage. That's at www.radio.cz, so do check it out when you have the time. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures, 6h27. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.